I'm starting a small series called Following Jesus. Open your Bibles in Matthew 8, 18 to 20. Next Sunday, I'm going to talk about Not Today, Devil. I think I steal that from Pastor Kyle, but Not Today, Devil. Because I'm going to start the second part when a guy says, Jesus, I'll follow you, but later I have to go home and bury my father and all this stuff. I'll follow you tomorrow. Let me tell you, there are things in your life that are okay to say, I'll do it tomorrow. But there are other things that you should never say, I'll do them tomorrow. And I'm going to talk about that next Sunday. Many of us are messed up because we keep postponing things that we should never postpone, every single day thing of our lives. But would you stay with me to Matthew 8:18 today? And here is Following Jesus 1. Very simple, Following Jesus 1. The title of my message next Sunday is probably going to be Following Jesus 2 or something like that. Would you stand with me, please? Let's read together Matthew 8:18 to 20. And when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave a command. Can you say command?
Command.
Command to depart to the other side. Jesus is not a leader who will leave you where you are ever. He always is going to give you a command. We take it as a suggestion, but it's a command. 19. Then a certain scribe came and said to him, Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. Ooh, you, that's a big commitment. Wherever you go, I'll go with you, Jesus. 20, and Jesus said to him, Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. What is he saying? Even the animals live by some rules and principles that most of people want to live by, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning because you have not called us to live a life like the animals by instincts and how I feel and what do I want to do. And maybe I want to do it tomorrow, or maybe what you're telling me to do I never want to do, God. You gave us a brain, and I ask you that you would just help our brains today to understand your word, our hearts, our spirit. We'll understand what you're trying to say to us, God. Things I don't say, please speak to me and to people. Father God, in my heart, things you want to tell me and to what you want to tell people in this place. Help us to understand where are you challenging us? Where are you trying to take us? Help us to know that if we say, I'm going to follow Jesus, what does that really mean? I ask you, just help us, and we give you all the glory for what you are doing. Amen and amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. It is so interesting that Jesus here saw great multitudes about him, and he gave a command to depart to the other side. How many of you guys struggle when authority in your life gives you a command? Just me? Anybody else? How many of you guys struggle when mom says, no, you're not going to go and play with your friends today. You're going to stay home. How many of you guys ever struggle with that? Yeah. You're not going to stay home, pretend you're sick, because you say you're sick, but you want to watch TV all day. People who are sick are coughing, and they lay in bed all night, all day long. And you're not, have you ever struggled with those commandments, you know? Now, the first point of my message today is, Jesus is a leader who gives commandments. Now, we live in a time, in an age, where people do not want leaders who give commands. In fact, we are so against that we created political systems where we all have to say what we want to say, and then we all together going to make a decision. There are families who function like that. Let's have a family reunion to see at what time should the kids go to bed. Let's have a family reunion to see if we're going to eat candy all day, or if we are going to pull the weeds all day. You know what I'm saying? Jesus is a leader who gives commandments. I knew a man who was a tremendous man of God, used by God. He did tremendous things for God until he had problem with authority in his life. Way older than me. Didn't like this, didn't like that. Walked away from his denomination. For decades didn't do much for the kingdom of God. Then he wanted to be reinstated in his denomination, and he needed somebody to help him. He come and talk to me, and we have all this conversation. And one of the last conversations, I couldn't hold my daddy, who is inside of me sometimes, to come out. And I said, you're trying so hard to be doing ministry again in the denomination that you were so mad for decades. And everything I hear, something sounds kind of good, something, and so I'm going crazy. He's way older than me. And I ask him point blank in his face, can you be a pastor who pastors a church under authority, and they are going to tell you, you can do this and you cannot do this? Months later, he called me and said, thank you for that advice. So my question today is, how many of you guys want to follow Jesus? Oh, you know where I'm going. How many of you guys are going to stop taking the commands of Jesus and turn them into a suggestion? And let me have a family reunion and see if I want to do this or not. Now, I know I got really serious right now. How many of you guys who are parents like the word authority? You like your parents? You like the word authority? But you who work under authority, then the word authority, you don't like it anymore. You know what I'm saying? When I went to the mission field, I was a horrible Christian. Still struggle a lot today. But my dad saw something inside of me. He just gave me one advice. I told you this before. Who knows what my dad told me before I went to the mission field at the age of 19 under his wing. He gave me one advice who has helped me. I have told this many pastors. Some of them have accepted. Some, they get so mad at me when I say this. They get mad. They fight it. Who knows what my dad told me? One advice to this guy who was still struggling with alcohol, girls, other addiction, a personality and a character who stank. I made fun of girls who didn't know how to cook. I was one of those horrible young boys, you know, because I knew how to cook a little bit. My dad told me, I'll just give you one advice, Christian. Your leaders are never, ever, ever going to be perfect people. But you have to submit to your authorities. How many of you guys here are perfect parents? So that means your kids should just discard everything you say because you're not perfect. How many of you guys have parents who were not perfect, but you thank God for their lives in your life? Let me see your hand. Listen, I'm going to be straight on to you. The older I get, the more the Holy Spirit is trying to take me to the Word, and He shows me Jesus commanded. You can have whatever translation here, but it says instructed them, told them, order them, commandment there. It is always this one word. It says, Jesus said, now we're going to do this. Boom. How many of us turn Jesus' commandments, the Holy Spirit commandments in our life, or are tempted to turn every commandment of God into a suggestion? Have you ever been tempted to turn it into a suggestion? I'll give you an example. Quite a while ago, dishes pile up in my kitchen in my home, and I told one of my kiddos, I remember now who it was. I didn't remember the first service, but my memory is coming back. Do you want to do dishes? And that kiddo turned around and went to the room. And I'm going, you know, I'm about to flip. In my head, I just gave a commandment to that kid. And I'm thinking, wait, this is not how we live here. I give a commandment, you walk away, you don't say a word, you go to your bedroom. And what happened here? I just asked you to do the dishes. No, that you did not ask me to do dishes. You asked me if I want to do dishes. And I'm telling you, now I'm going to be honest. He said, I'm telling you, I don't want to do dishes. That's why I'm going to my room. Now you just know we're from 10, I went to 100 now. So I'm trying to hold my horses, because maybe you are not like me, but I struggle with anger. I really do. I try to fix everything in my life in about 0.2 seconds. And when I'm angry, it goes to 0.1 seconds. And I told that kid, when I say, would you like to do this, what I'm really saying, go and do this. I'm just trying to be nice and polite. And so we had an understanding. Now, Jesus doesn't do this nice, polite thing, because if he would say, he asked them, would you like to go to the other side, what do you think is going to happen? Come on. We have enough ideas of church and Christianity and godliness that if God will fill his word saying, what did you guys think? What should we do? What do you think is a good idea? If God even giving commandments to us, we struggle. So first point, look at a person next to you. Put a mean face on you. A mean face. Come on. I know you can do it, Fabian. Can you live under Jesus' authority? Can you live, Abraham? Can you live, Brian, Carlos, under the commandments of Jesus? Do you know who are the people that struggles? The people that struggles walking with Jesus are the ones who clearly hear Jesus says, let's do this, and they start, let me think about this a little bit. Let me think about this. The second point is, who was this scribe? Who was this scribe? Verse 19. Then a certain scribe came, after he gives a commandment, you're going to see who scribes were, came and said to him, teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. I think he has the right heart. Because we all try to have the right heart. I don't think we are horrible Christians. Otherwise, you wouldn't be in church probably today. He has the right heart, and he tells Jesus, Jesus, teacher. Now, understand that people call Jesus very different names. If you want to do a great study for yourself, look who calls Jesus teacher or rabbi and how they act. And look who called Jesus Lord or master and look how they act. Look what people calls you, and look how they act. Look how what you call people in your life, and look how you act and how you struggle. Sometimes I want to believe my kids messed up the word dad for dude. It happened twice in my lifetime. How many of you dads enjoy when your kids call you, hey, dude? Thumbs down over there. Are you following me here? Are you following me here? Teacher, this man was a scribe. His function in society was to copy royal and sacred manuscripts. It would take them weeks or months sometimes to copy from an original another sacred or religion manuscript from the original or from a copy into another copy. They mess up in one word. They cannot erase it. They cannot change. They have to destroy it completely and burn it completely. And now, if you have ever worked for a few hours in a document on the computer and your computer went bananas, and you know how happy you are when your computer goes crazy and you lost your document, anybody's jumping out of joy and, you know what I'm saying? You're so mad. You don't want to find me in that moment in life. These guys worked for weeks and months in one thing. These guys had discipline. These guys were careful. These guys were smart. These guys composed the Jewish aristocracy. Is that right? How you say it? Aristocracy? No? How do you say that? Oh, whoa, I said it right the first time. I'm shocked. Aristocracy. They were the richest people in Israel. They were the most influential people. The Bible talks about the scribes and the priests. All the time they together is the high priest, the priest, and then they're the scribes. Because these guys were the ones who would know by the T every law of Moses. They were the ones who helped the priest to say, we will kill this lady. We will kill this man. This is what we're going to do. And this is what the law says. And they were above everybody else. And they were telling everybody else what to do. And Jesus tells this disciple, he says, do what the scribes and the priests say, but don't do what they do, because their heart is full of themselves. And this scribe comes and says, Jesus, or not Jesus, teacher, I will go wherever you go. And Jesus says, wait a little bit. You don't know what you're talking about. You have all the money, all the influence, all the power. You decide who is going to die in Israel when they break the law. And you're going to go tonight and sleep with me in the cold night with 12 other stinky fishermen? And follow me, who gives orders and not suggestions? One of the most destructive behaviors in our lives is to think that we know better than the people that God has put as authority in our lives. The Bible says, honor your father and your mother. The Bible says, submit to your pastor. The Bible says, if you don't like the taxes, how they do it, you still have to pay the taxes and give to Rome, but Rome asks, and give to God what he says is him. One of the most destructive behaviors is when we think that we know better than everybody else. If I would be Jesus, I would say, I do not need somebody who is going to argue me every single thing I say to do. Would you be a leader who wants somebody like this in your team? Or would you say, you're so full of yourselves. But Jesus is way better leader than I am. And he says, can you really follow me? Are you going to argue everything? You regulate the Jewish law. Are you going to be able to sleep and eat and live 24/7 with these fishermen, and most of them have no education? You're going to be making fun of them. I was a leader in a church in a while in my life where there was a group of people in the same generation who was very divided. One group of these people, this is years and years ago, were making fun of the others because they were not like them. It was a cultural, racial, economic, and educational difference all together in these two groups. These guys are making fun of these guys all the time because these guys are not acting like them. But these guys were making fun also of these guys all the time because these guys were not acting like them. Are you following me here? They came from two different parts of the world, two different mentalities, two different levels of economy, culture, social ideas. It made me so sick that I had to confront them tremendously.
And if you know me, I'm okay confronting people. That's what I'm going to say. And I had to stop because I saw how the enemy was dividing in this church. Some great people. But what was the problem? They thought that they were above these guys. These guys thought they were above these guys. And so Jesus is looking at the scribe and saying, can you follow me? Because tomorrow you used to sleep in the most nicest houses, the nicest meals, the nicest parties, the nicest clothing, the nicest showers, the nicest beds. And the moment you start following me, you're going to start sleeping in the floor. Look at Jesus. When he went to Jerusalem, and they had hotels because there was, when Jesus was born, there was no place for him at the inn. They had hotels. Amen. I can preach against God wants you to be a millionaire, but that's not the point. What are you going to do? Are you going to be always sneaking in the bag that Judas carry around to see if we have money to go to the hotel tonight? Are you going to come and challenge me when I'm telling you, these guys have been sleeping in the floor. When Jesus stayed in Jerusalem, he stayed and slept in the Mount of Olives. You can see the Mount of Olives right there out of Jerusalem. Walking distance. Are you arguing? You think you're better than these guys. Are you going to argue for every decision that I made when you are where you are because you made a decision and you said, Jesus, I will follow you and not myself anymore? Myself says the world and religion can give me all this. Jesus says, I'm going to give you spiritually what you can never get without me, but I have to work on your carnality. And it's not about if we have money in the bag to sleep in the hotel. It's about something that calls being humble. Could this guy who was probably never slept in the outdoors, could he start sleeping in the outdoors? Can you follow a homeless teacher, according to him? When I got here in 2000, Pastor Jutter said, many of you guys know him, he told me something that I didn't like at all. He told me, Christian, I cannot promise you a high salary. We can do side jobs to pay our bills if we need to. In fact, I got even more mad at him. I'm going to be very honest. And it was not his fault at all. He told me one day, I said, I want you, Jew, to promise me that twice a month you're going to give me this amount of dollars. I want you to promise me that. Because I have a wife, and we brought one little girl from Paraguay. And we are popping one baby after the other, 3 kids in 4 years. I want you, Jude, to promise me, I told him, that twice a month, around the 1st and around the 15th, you're going to give me the same check. And he told me, I cannot promise you because I'm not sure of what every month comes into the church finances. And I got mad at him. But he told me, I can promise you one thing. What I can give you is a town, this town of Benalillo, full of kids, youth, and adults who desperately need Jesus in their lives. That's not what I came for. That's not the point of the conversation, Jude. And I struggle with that. I struggle with that. But he's saying, I'm not God. God promised to supply our needs. You know what I'm saying? He will supply our needs. And now, 20 years later, I'm trying to lose weight because I got so fat, because God provides our needs. Jesus is telling this guy, do you really know what you're getting into? Are you trying to follow me because you think I'm going to be this political leader who one day is going to take over the Roman government? Because you are all into influence, all into power, all into money, all into telling others what to do. Are you going to promise me, Jesus, I want to follow you? Because I believe, they really believe that. One day you're going to be our political leader. You're going to take the Romans out. And I'm going to be the only scribe who's going to be sitting in the palace, in the king. I'm going to be laughing at all my other friends who were scribes. And they did not make the decision. And Jesus is saying, wait a little bit. Where is your head? I love this story. I struggled with this scripture for 3 days. Like 3 weeks ago, I'm reading, and God tells me, go back and read it, and go back and read it. I want you to preach about this. I want to talk to you about this. And I go back, and I never went through the journey. That's why I have another sermon. And after 3 days of praying and reading, boom, things start popping out in my head, and God is just giving me a sermon. But God is telling us, did you know what you said? Yes. When I got married, my father was like Jesus in that moment. He looked in my eye. He was getting us married. He was up here, and I was there with Katie. And he looked at me. He had one of those Jesus moments, like right here. Did you know what you're saying? I'm going to do. He said, Christian, if you want to be happy, do not try to be happy in your marriage. You want to really be happy? And why are we men getting all married? Because we all want to be happy, happy, happy. You know what I'm saying? The much happiness she gives me, the more happy I am, you know? And my wife was there. And my dad told me, good father, good man of God. He said, if you want to be happy, the secret is make her very happy. How many of you guys agree with that principle? Mama's happy, everybody's happy. If daddy ain't happy, nobody cares. Happy wife? But I love Jesus because he's so honest, he's so authentic, he's so genuine. And he looks at a guy that can be the biggest pain in the neck that Jesus ever had. And he does not tell him, I don't want you in my team. He says, whoa. I give orders. Where I say we go, we go. Where I go, say we sleep, we sleep. You know these guys would go through hunger sometimes? Read the Bible. They were so hungry, they left Jesus by a well, and they went crazy into town to buy bread, and then the Samaritan woman shows up at the well, and Jesus has this amazing conversation. But these guys were hungry. Did you know what you said yes when you got married? Did you know what you said yes when you decide to be romantic with your wife and that brought a baby and then another baby and then another baby? Did you know what you said yes when you said, I'm going to serve the Lord? Do you know what you say yes? And Jesus is saying, foxes have holes. Listen to this principle. And birds of the air have nests. But the Son of Man has not a place to lay his head. One day he will lay his head on the cross for your sins so you can have eternal life. And that's what the kingdom of God is all about. But he's saying, even animals live by some principles. Not me. For me, it's all about God changing and transforming people's life. Look at this. We all sometimes tend to go and live the life of the animals, which is what? Satisfy my needs and desires. Are you here with me? I can have this with religion. This
Jesus is saying, I'm going to say it to you because I feel like one day you're going to say, even foxes, Jesus, have dens. Even birds of the air have nests in the trees. And we are living worse than the animals. We are starving and we are sleeping in the floor, Jesus. And Jesus is saying, if you're going to follow me, you're not going to follow the principle of this world, not the animals, not everybody thinks, but you're going to follow what I say. Can you still follow Jesus? Come on now. I don't think he wants us to sleep in the floor. Don't get me wrong. What I'm saying is he's going to challenge the hardest, most carnal, and more selfish, and more prideful things inside of us. And we can come up with the animals of this, Jesus. But I'm going to tell you, if you trust me, I'm going to use you tremendously to change the history of humankind. But you need to listen to my commandments. When was the last time that you hear the Holy Spirit? Or let me put it another way. Did you hear more your flesh when you have to go through the cold nights? Did you hear more to your carnal, that we all have this nature where we have to sleep the cold nights? And then the third point is, Jesus is saying, you're going to follow me, scribe? I have 12 other guys who take showers when I take showers. They eat when I eat. They sleep where I sleep. They do what I do. They're not that smart, but they are totally sold out into the kingdom of God. They are not that easy to live with. Peter is arguing with me all the time. The other guy is doubting me all the time. The other guy is stealing all the time. The other two with the mother are trying to be on my right and my left side because they still have this idea of the kingdom of God. They're all going to run one day. One is going to kill himself. But Jesus is saying, I'm not going to kick out the rest of the people in church so you can be happy alone following me. Following me comes with a package of all... Look around, look around. Anybody perfect here? Following me comes with one package that is never going to change. The other 12 disciples. Listen, I am so tired of seeing people who say they want to follow Jesus, but they have issues with people in church. So they, what they do? What do? They go to another church. For like about 2 hours or 2 months, they think they found the perfect church until somebody says or does not or does or says something. And then what do? What is Jesus saying? Saying, follow me comes with a package. This guy, there's a bunch of others. You're going to learn to love them, or you're going to run like a chicken. Would you close your eyes right there where you are this morning? Is your struggle this morning? Is your struggle the authority of Jesus? Is your struggle that you know too much, you're too good? You're not like this other dumb 12 other ones who don't know anything about nothing? Country goes to times of wars, and the eagles come back from war with amounts of decorations. In
times of peace, everybody is a great American soldier. But in times of war, you see what everybody is made of. I love this church because it has eagles. Because times of war come, and eagles always rise in times of war, and chickens always stay in the ground, and they go home to lay more eggs for themselves, whatever they do. My question today is, are you going through a war in your family? Are you going through a war in your marriage? Are you going through war with the commandments of Jesus? Are you going through war at work, at school, at church? The true you is going to come out, not in times of peace. In times of war, eagles rise. And they gave everything for the cause. Some of them even died. Physically. The times of war will only give you one challenge. You die to yourself or you run from the war. And God is saying today here, did you know what you said yes to? I thought it's going to be all nice. Well, you know it's not going to be all nice. Call you to something nobody ever calls you, Jesus says. I'm going to dip your pride and your selfish, prideful, powerful, influential, above everybody else attitude. I'm going to deal with that to the bone. You have no idea what's coming to you. Do you want to take people to heaven from hell or not? Father, we come before you this morning. Lord, I know this word is a word that takes us to a place. Some of us here struggle. Some of us sometimes get tired of being eagles and we just want to be a chicken for once and for all. Or some of us in this place need to come to a place where it says, Jesus, you're not just going to be my teacher, you're going to be my Lord. And I will follow you wherever you go, and that's you this morning. I want to ask you to repeat this prayer after me. Even if you are a Christian, and you say, I'm safe, Pastor, I'm talking to you about taking Jesus as your Lord. You took him as your Savior, but not as your Lord. And would you repeat after me and say, Father God, thank you for loving me so much, for sending me a Savior to redeem me from my sins, from my sinful nature, from my prideful heart, from my big head. Lord, forgive me my sins. Come into my life. Make me a new person. Whatever it takes, Jesus. I don't like sleeping in the floor. But whatever it takes, Jesus. Please deal with my heart. Make me a new person. A whole new person. Thank you, God. Father, I pray for us, everyone in this room, everyone. Lord, we all going through this following you life. Some of us thought that sleeping in the floor was hard enough already a few months ago. And we thought that was going to be the ultimate challenge. We don't know that when you leave, most of us are going to die for your cause, God. Lord, I ask you that this morning, you would help us to know that the more we follow you is when joy, peace, and blessings abound. Lord, help us to know that the less we follow you and the more we follow our own animal instincts is when we start losing your blessings. Lord, help us to be like those 11 who said, Jesus, whatever you really say, whatever you want to do, whatever it is, I will follow you, God. I ask you to give us strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to close this sermon saying, God is calling you to be an eagle, whatever he has put you.